everybody. Before we go into lecture 15, I think it's 14 or 15, any questions about homework 3?
Well, what does it do?
It's due a week from today.
A week?
Yes. It's due a week from today, yeah.
I have a question. I don't know exactly what it is, where you have to create a song.
Yeah.
When you play it, does the song actually have to play like the whole thing?
No.
Just like the lyrics.
Just the lyrics. The sprite has to say the lyrics of the song. So just, yeah. There needs to be no music or anything. So, you have two scratch programs. This is one of them, and there was a question about this one, about if you need to actually hear music or not. You don't need to actually hear music or anything. Just the sprite has to say the lyrics of the song. Okay, and for the next one, you probably noticed this, but it needs to broadcast the subroutine at least twice. Okay? So it says, use a subroutine at least twice, right? So you need at least two subroutines. Okay? And for the next one, make sure you check off everything that's in here. There's three things that you need: animation, sound, and keyboard interaction. And so, yeah.
What do you mean by keyboard interaction?
So anything that's not clicking on something. So for example, you have something like when spacebar is pressed or some kind of keyboard.
And that's like enough.
That's enough.
The spacebar.
Yeah. I mean, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff, like, you know, you can ask a question and you can enter a text, but but make sure you have all three of them, because the grading is going to be, you know, does it have animation, does it have sound, does it have keyboard interaction? And if any of them are missing, there's going to be voicing. Any other questions? Everything clear? I guess we've done some of this, some of these. This is a little tricky because it doesn't just ask you to go from the tree to the expression. It asks you to go from the expression. I mean, you're going to get some points for it, but you need to go from the expression to the actual machine language code and make sure you don't use any illegal instructions. So this is a tricky question in this homework, I think. Okay? Because we haven't done a lot of these, but if you need help, you know, yeah.
Could the answer be accelerator equals A and accelerator equals accelerator and not B?
Accumulator equals accumulator and not B. You can't do accumulator equals accumulator and not variable.
Oh, okay.
That's an illegal instruction. You can definitely have a multiple, you know, ways to do it. Yeah, but
you kind of have like accumulator and not, or like something like A and not accumulator.
A and not accumulator. A equals not accumulator, maybe? So another,
like,
yeah.
You can't have like not accumulator.
Right, you cannot have not accumulator on the left side, on the right side? I don't think so, no. I think you need to go through accumulator equals not a variable. And so another way to do this would be accumulator equals not B. Well, that's how it's done. But accumulator equals A, then I guess, I don't know.
Like, could you have originally made like accumulator equals B, then accumulator equals not accumulator?
You cannot have accumulator equals equals not accumulator. I think you can do A or N equals not accumulator. So yeah, that's another way to do it. Yeah. You don't have to have the shortest possible program. Okay? So that's for... We've done a ton of these. You had them on the midterm, and people did pretty well. This is another gate problem, and the reason why it's on the homework is that it might be on the final, and so I want you guys to continue to practice it so, you know, you get better at it. And this is the one that I think people hate the most, when subroutines and, you have to figure out how many meows, and you have to figure out what num is at the end of the program. But definitely, if you need help, come to office hours, and we'll be glad to help. Any other questions or concerns or comments before? No. Okay, so what we did last time, we talked a little bit about what computation means and what does it mean to, what can computers do, what can computers not do, a little bit about philosophy, what philosophers as computer scientists. Before that, we talked a lot about, computers, how we make, computer science from bits and switches and we build up. And we're going to assume that we know all those things, and we're going to try to build on top of those things as usual. And so before we do that, let's start with some Clipper questions. This is a little bit about power, and I showed last time how if I have a very, if I have Mesopia, and if I don't have Mesopia, but I want to play Mario, I can simulate. I had a computer, Dell software, so PC software that could simulate Mesopia, and I had Mac software that could simulate a PC. And so we said that we talk about what powerful means, and powerful, something's more powerful than something else if the more powerful thing can simulate the less powerful thing. And so this question is, let's assume that I create a computational model called SNF, and it's based on patterns of musical notes, and I figured out how to use this SNF to, I can do anything that Scratch can do, I can do in SNF, okay? And so what does this mean? A, SNF is at least as powerful as Scratch. B, Scratch is at least as powerful as SNF. C, Scratch and SNF are equally powerful. D, it is impossible to compare the two. And E, power is only defined by Nestopia devices, or for Nestopia devices. Stop at 1:30. SNF can do, but SNF might be able to do other things too. And so SNF is more powerful than Scratch. Therefore, we can also say that's equivalent to SNF is at least as powerful as Scratch. Okay, what about people power? So the computational power of people. So which of the following statement is correct? A, we know that there is nothing that people can do that is impossible for computers. In other words, computers can do whatever a person can do, a computer can also do. B, we know of things people can do that are impossible for computers. In other words, there's at least one thing that we can think of that people can do and that no computer has ever done. C, we have not yet found things people can do that would be impossible for computers. D, I'm sorry?
Does that mean the same thing as A?
It's a little different. This is about we don't really know. This says we know. We have an example or something. And D, only people who can simulate what a computer can do or does can be considered intelligent. I mean, computer science has weird definitions, so. All right, I'll start. Give it 45 seconds. I guess everybody's ready.
I'm gonna stop
at 40. Okay, stopping? Okay, great. I'm glad that everybody agrees. So what if we say, what is one thing that people can do that computers cannot do that we talked about last time? Or how do we know that B is true? Other than the media. Yeah.
The AI thing.
The AI thing. What was the AI thing? You remember? So I have a slide about that, actually. Because I think it's interesting. And it's called a Turing test. And the Turing test says, OK, imagine there's a person that chats with somebody else. It could be a computer, or it could be another person. And so they think that they are talking to a person. They're not sure, but they're definitely thinking that it's a person. They can't distinguish, they can't say for sure that it's not a person. If on the other, if the person that they're, or thing that they're talking to is actually a computer, then the computer passes a Turing test. And so that hasn't happened yet. And so they have no computer or program or software agent that actually passes a Turing test. They're getting close, well, I don't know, but they're getting good at it, but not. You can totally tell that it's a computer. Any questions, comments? No. Okay, this is about probability. So I want to win a raffle, and I know that every day there's a 1/100 chance of winning. So that's a probability. On average, how many days must I play before I win? A, 1 over 100, B, 4 over 3, C, 50, D, 100, E, 200. I'm going to stop at 1. And we said that if there's an event that has a certain probability p, we need on average 1 over p tries before it happens. And so in this case, the probability is 1 over 100. And so we need 1 over 1 over 100, which is 100. So on average, 100 times before it happens. Does anybody know what the probability to win the lottery is?
Once in 14,000 years.
Yeah, like it's really, really small. They make a lot of money.
If you buy 10 tickets a week, you'll win in 14,000 years.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So that's pretty small. All right. Next one. So here we talked about random in Scratch. And so here's what this little script or piece of script says. Set A to pick random 0 to 1, which says, just pick a random number, it's going to be either 0 or 1. And that random number, whatever you get, gets multiplied by 4 and added. You add 7 to it. Okay? What values can A be? So this is your formula. Just if it's a little unclear from this because you can't really see. So there, it's random, and then you multiply whatever you get from the random number by 4, and then you add 7 to that. And the options are A, 0 or 1, B, 0, 1, 4, 7, C, 4, 7, D, 7 or 11, E, 0 or 11. Stop at 1:45.
Is that a times 4?
Yes. This is a times.
Up top, that says plus 4, 1 plus 4 plus 7, right?
No, this is 1 times 4 plus 7.
Oh, okay.
So make sure you click the right, if you change your mind. So that this is why I wrote it again here. So whatever random number, you multiply by 4, and then you add 7 to it. Values can we have from the random number generator? How many values do we have? 2. What are the values?
0
and 1. Okay. What happens if the number is 0? Well, we're going to have 0 here times 4 is 0, plus 7 is going to be 7. So that's one value. And then the other one is 1 times 4 is 4, plus 7, 11, so 7 and 11. D. Okay, any questions? Side. This is the list that you're working with, which is 14, 9, 76, 11, and 2. And your script says the following. When I have a problem is clicked, that's the name of the sprite, set count to 1, repeat until count is bigger than length of num, and inside the repeat until you have the following instructions. If item count of num equals 7, say yes for 2 seconds, and stop script. And after the if, you have change count by 1. And outside of the loop, the repeat until loop, after it, you have say no for 2 seconds. So what will the sprite say? A, nothing. B, it's going to say yes, and then it's going to say no. C, it's going to say yes. D, it's going to say no. E, it will say yes 5 times, and no 1 time. Any questions about anything, what things mean in the script? I'm sorry. You can click again if you clicked already. explain after the next question, which is the last question. Okay, so this question is the same script, but no list. So for any given list num, what question does a sprite answer? Okay? And the options are A, is the number 7 in the list num? B, what elements does list num contain? C, is the length of the list equal to 7? D, how many times does 7 show up in the list? Anything else, because there's a bigger chance of getting the right answer. No, it's funny. Once I have A, B, C, and people click E and D, it was very, very popular. Okay. Maybe we're getting clicks from other classes. All right, so I guess 2:30. So what does this script do? Maybe I should. This script sets a counter to 1, and then we are, as we've seen before, we're going to go over every element in the list. And so we are staying in this loop as long as count is smaller than the length of num, right? And so we're stopping when count is larger than the length of num, okay? And so count will be each element in the list. And so what does this say? It says if item count of num equals 7, so the element in the list is equal to 7, say yes and stop script. And change count by 1, so we move to the next element in the list. And so maybe I should start with the previous list. So in the case of this list, what happens? Count is 1. It says if item count of num equals 7. What is item count of num? If count is 1. 14. It's 14. It's the first element in the list. Is that equal to 7? No. Move on. It makes count 2. What is the second element in the list? 9. So item count of num will be 7 if count is 2. And so on. So what it does, it looks at each element of the list. It sees if it's 7. If it's 7, it says yes and stops. Yeah.
So if all the lists and if all the items in the list were 7, so you have 5 7s, mm-hmm. It would say yes 5 times.
It would say, well, I'm saying stop script here. And so once it reaches an element at 7, it's going to stop the script.
Oh, okay.
If this wasn't here, yeah, you're right. If it was all 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, it would say yes five times and no once because it needs to go here. But the reason why I said stop script here is because I wanted to either say yes or no. Otherwise, if I'm not stopping, it's going to do this and it's going to say no to it. Yeah?
Well, like, wouldn't it say yes and then no because no is just like at the end without any conditions?
Yeah, that's exactly why there's a stop script here. Stop script just gets out of the, stops the script without, you know, looking further. Any other questions? So what question does this,
for any given list,
it answers, is number 7 in list num. What, how do I need to change, how do I need to change the script to make this the right answer? Well, length of list needs to be involved, and so I would say, I don't need to go over a whole list. I can just say here, if length of list equals 7, say yes, else say no. Right? So length of list needs to be involved. Okay, any other more questions on this one? No? Okay, so let's go to, today we're going to talk about algorithms. And so algorithm is just a fancy word that I'm going to use a lot. And this means that you have a problem or a task to accomplish, and the algorithm is the method that you use to solve that task or solve that problem. And so a lot of computer science research is in algorithm design, which says you're given a problem, find the best way, the fastest way to solve the problem, the most efficient way in a certain sense. And so, you know, less work. Less work can be either less processor, less running time, if you have a very small. So for example, for cell phones, don't have a lot of storage, and you have to make your software, your games or whatever, to fit into the small hardware that the cell phone has. And it also has to be very fast. And so, so any examples of methods? So every algorithm comes with a problem. You can't say, I just have an algorithm, you know, floating free in the universe. It needs to be attached to a problem. And so any examples of algorithms or methods or, you know, problems and methods? Just a very simple one. No? Okay, I have an example. Recipes are a very good example of algorithms. So you have, you know, your this is your recipe, your black box, say, you have There are all kinds of kitchen devices that you can just throw in the ingredients. For example, bread makers, right? You just throw in the ingredients, you know, it does its thing, and then it's, you know, it doesn't come out as turkey, but, you know, it comes out as bread. And so the way you make it, that's the algorithm in this case. And so, for example, you know, muffins. If you want to make muffins, you have ingredients going in. You have the method of doing it, what happens, you know, each step, and, you know, comes out as muffins if everything goes well. So notice how, one thing I want you to notice is how it's very, it explains in detail everything that's happened. So somebody who doesn't know how to cook should know, should be able to make muffins. So it explains it in detail. And so, you know, a more computer science example is the truth table to formula example, where I took the case where the truth table is mostly true, and so I make an AND clause for each C equals false on this side. That's step one. Step two, I OR the clauses together. So step one would be I take the first false, I say not A and not B. I take the second false, I say A and B. Second step is that I OR them together, so I took the first one, I OR them with the second one, and then I not the whole thing because I started with false, I made a clause for each false, and then I simplify, which is not literally simplify, but I just, you know, apply to the De Morgan's law and figure it out, and this is what I get. And this was on your exam, I think it was problem 3 on your exam. Okay, so this is an algorithm. This said, what do you do if you're faced with a truth table and you want to get a formula? And like every, there's a fun class next door. Every single step that you have to go through. So this is what you get. And so today, the book that I was telling you about in the beginning of the semester was you know, Daniel Hills wrote it, and he says that he tells a story when one of his college roommates, I think, had came back with the laundry of with his laundry, and he had to pair up socks. And the way he was doing it, so here's this is an example of a problem. We have a basket full of socks, and I have here a bag, and there's socks, you know, paper socks. Don't be scared. Okay, and they're mixed together. And so we're going to see there's 8 pairs of socks, and we want to pair them up by reaching in the basket as few times as possible. So that's our efficiency measure of the algorithm, okay? And so he says that his roommate, what he would do would be to reach in the basket randomly, pull a sock, reach for another sock. Oh, I can't look. Do they match? They don't match. I throw them back in the basket and do this again. They don't match, throw them back. Okay? This is our first algorithm. It's a really bad algorithm. It's very, very slow. So I wrote it in a Scratch, like, you actually don't have these things in Scratch, but I wrote it in Scratch kind of script, and so you're not going to have grab a sock in Scratch, but you can imagine that there could be something like that. And so what we're going to do, we're going to repeat until the basket is empty. When the basket is empty, we're stopping. We grab a sock, we call that sock one. We grab another sock, we call that sock two. And if they do not match, if sock one and this little squiggly thing is matching, so if they do not match, we toss back sock one and sock two into the basket. And otherwise, if they do match, we are going to make a pair. Okay? So that is our algorithm. Will this eventually work? Yes?
Only if every sock in the bag has a pair. Only if it has a matching sock.
Okay. So let's assume that we have matching socks, that, you know, our dryer didn't eat our socks, because that happens to me a lot. But let's say that all the pairs in here are matching. So this will eventually, will it always work? Is it guaranteed to work? Do you have enough patience? Yes. What, I mean, I think it's possible for it not to work. What if you always pull the first two socks on top, you never mix the socks. You just have, say, a red sock and a blue sock. You just pull, you know, all the socks that are on top. It's never gonna work. But if you just take them randomly, then it should work. Okay. So actually, let's see. I want to count how many times I need to reach in the basket. Maybe I won't do it, because I'm afraid that the class will end and it's not going to be. Okay. So what is the if we have eight pairs of socks, what is the minimum number of times we need to reach in the basket? Like, what's the smallest, if we're really lucky and everything goes really well? Yeah.
16,
right? Because we have 16 socks and we have to get all of them. What is the maximum number of times? That's the worst thing if the worst thing happens. Infinity, right? Okay. Yeah, so we could just sit there and try to that for infinity, and we will die before we get our socks matched. What do you think is the average... what is the average time? So if I grab a sock, how many white sock? How many socks are left in the basket? I had 16 before. 15. What is the probability that I grab the matching sock? 1 or 15. Okay. So how many times on average do I have to reach in a basket to? Well, that's not really a fair question, because I'm going to toss them back in, okay? But the probability of a matching sock is a 1 over 15. Okay, and with this, the average is, I think, 20-something, 20 times, which is not too bad. Okay, here's a better one. This is, so his the guy who wrote the book, his colleague took an algorithms class, so he realized that he needs to be more efficient. And so here's the improvement that he does. So repeat until basket empty. We grab a sock. So we use a bed. And if the sock is not on the bed, so the matching sock is not on the bed, we put the sock on the bed. And otherwise, if the sock is already on the bed, so the matching sock is on the bed, we grab them and we... So does somebody want to... This is going to not take a long time. No? We volunteer. Or I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. So I grab a sock. So I have a matching sock on the bed. This is my, whatever, table. Let's say table. No? I put it on the bed. Grab another sock. These, I don't think they match. Because this is a gray and this is a white. And so I put it on. They're different colors. Okay. Next one. Orange. This is not my lucky day. Definitely. Yay. Okay, so I grabbed the sock. It's matching sock is on the bed. I match them together. And I set them aside. Okay, this matches this one. This doesn't match anyone. Any of them. Nope. There's eight pairs. I should have done six. Okay. Alright, now they definitely... Yeah. Okay, one. So this is the third one.
There's a chance that you pull out all those different ones. It's probably not that good either, though.
Yes, that's true. I told you, this is not a... I shouldn't play the lottery today. Not that I would. Okay. All right, and green. Okay, and she did. All right, so I matched everything. This took, I thought it wouldn't take that long. Okay, so this is the second one. What do you think about this one? So we have eight pairs of socks. What is the minimum number of times we need to reach in the basket, if we're lucky? 16. What is the maximum number of times we need to reach in the basket, if we're very unlucky? How much?
If you're doing the bed, it's still 16.
Still 16. So min and max and average, what would that be? 16. Yes. So no matter what, we have... So this is a very good algorithm. But what happens? So we need this bed. We need this extra space. So what if I have, you know, I want to design an algorithm for a cell phone. I don't have a lot of space, right? So if you know, what if I had a million pairs of socks? If I had a million pairs of socks, it would be very hard to, you know, I wouldn't have that much space, and so it would be very hard to do. And so. This was a contest that, you know, one person uses the first algorithm, the second person uses the second algorithm. We could do it with four pairs. So, two volunteers? Well, we don't have two bags, though. Anyway, never mind. Okay, so, I mean, you can imagine that this algorithm would be way better than the first algorithm. Unless this gets really lucky and they do the same. Okay, but now we need a compromise between, so this slide talks about how we need an extra space and we might not have that space. And so what can we do to make SOC A better, the first algorithm better, if we don't have this extra space available? Go ahead.
Reach in and pull out one SOC, and then with your other hand, pull out another SOC. If it doesn't match, only put the left hand, the second one back. Try again until you get the one that matches the first one.
Exactly. And that's that would take a shorter time. Because we don't have to pull two. We have the probabilities, if you work out the math, the probabilities work out so that this is our third algorithm. So this is exactly what Eugene said. We repeat until basket is empty. We grab a sock, we call it sock A. We grab a second sock, we call it sock 2, sock 1 and sock 2, sorry. We repeat until the socks match. If it goes into this loop, they haven't matched. Because we stay in the loop until this condition is met, so this condition is not met. And so if the condition is not met, we toss back sock 2, and we grab another sock, and we call it sock 2. And otherwise, if they have matched, we make a pair and set it aside. Is this clear of how it works? Okay. And so what is... The min is again 16 because we need to grab everything. You know, in the best case, what's going to happen? I'm going to grab a sock. The second sock is going to match. I'm going to match them up. I'm going to grab a sock. The next one is going to match. I'm going to match them and so on. The max is still pretty high. But on average, this does way better than the first algorithms. So, computer scientists talk a lot about... when they make an algorithm, what is the size of your input? How many socks? Well, they're not going to use socks. But how many things you have to work with? And so it's very important to, as the size of the input, as the number of socks increases, it needs to be fast. So this would be a match between sock A and sock C, and we would see that a sock C does better than that. And so, So this is, again, another way of saying that an algorithm is a method of solving the problem. And so, different algorithms can be better or worse. So we can have things that run in, we can have, for the same problem, we can have an algorithm that runs really fast. We can have an algorithm that runs really slow. So we definitely want to get something that's good and fast. And so... we need some kind of measure of the performance of the algorithm. And for example, it could be the time it takes that to sort socks. We might have a bed or some kind of surface, and we might be able to use it, and so we will use the second algorithm. If we don't have the space, we're going to use the third one, and so on. And so, there's a lot of, Google, for example, right? So Google has to deal with all the web pages, all the words in the world. Right, on all the web pages. And so it needs to be, when you type in a query, it needs to be really good and very, very fast. It wouldn't be useful to you if you would look for something, it would take 20 years to get the answer, right? 19 years and 36 months left, that would not help you. And so you need to be, it really makes a difference sometimes. Sometimes for the same problem, something can take a few seconds, something can take a few hours. And so it's really hard to believe that the algorithms solve the same problems. And so obviously, the sock sorting algorithm is very silly. But we actually will look at songs and compare that to how long does it take to sing a song. And so, what is a problem? So a problem needs to have a well-defined input and a well-defined output. So here, our input is a bag of 8 socks that match, and the output, we want it to be assorted 8 pairs of matched-up socks. And so one example that we're gonna take, which is more realistic in computer science, more realistic than sock sorting, is lists. And we have lists, and we have decision problems on lists. So we have a clicker question. The question the sprite was answering was, is number 7 in the list? And so let's try some examples. What is a list for you? Let's think about, okay, did you want to give an example? Sorry. Okay, so what are some examples of, think about a list. Think about a phone book. A phone book is a list of a lot of people. What can be some decision question on the list, right? On the phone book. Well, you could be asking, is this person in the phone book? Can I find their phone number? Or you could be asking, how many people have my last name in the phone book? Just because you're curious. Or how many people have a very common name? You want to count and see that there's a lot of them. And so we're going to start with, is X some number in a list? So we're gonna get a list of numbers, and I think I want you to use your clickers, and click A if it is, and click B if it isn't, and try to be as fast as you can, but don't compromise on accuracy. So make sure you get the right answer, but try to do it as fast as possible. Okay, are you all ready? I'm going to give it like just 10 seconds or something, very short. So this is the list of numbers. A is yes. A is yes, and B is no. Okay, so I'm going to stop when 60 people have to. You have to be fast. Okay. Stopping at 20. Okay. So let's see. Is it? I guess it is. I didn't even look. 83 is in the list. It's towards the end. Okay? So that's one. That's one problem. So how do we do this in Scratch? There's going to be more. Just stay tuned. Stay alert. So here's how we would solve this problem. This is a general list. We don't know what list it is. We might get any list. But we set x to 83. And x is the element that we want to find. And so when we start, we set I to 1. I, again, will be a counter that will help us go through the list. We stop when I has reached the end of the list, so when I is bigger than the length of the list. And we say if item I of list is equal to X, because we want to find X, we say yes, stop the script, and then if that doesn't happen, we change I by 1 and move on to the next element. And do this. So this is very similar to our clicker question, where X was 7 in our case. And so when everything finishes, if it never found 83, it's going to say no. But in our case, it's going to say yes. Okay. So here's something that happens a lot with lists, loops. We always use a loop to go through the list. And so I wanted to go over what a loop is made out of. And so we have initial conditions. We set x to 83. I guess we can consider this to be initial condition too. And so that's the first element. Then we have I, which is helping us to go over each of the elements of the list. And so we have to run through each element in the list. And so we do this by setting I to 1, the first element. We repeat until I is bigger than the length. So we go over the whole list. And then we're going to do something that we're going to see later. And then we need to change I by 1 to move on to the next element. And that is basically the skeleton of the loop. We test each element if it's equal to X, and then we report the answer. Okay, so that is, most of our problems are going to look like this. Okay, here's another one. Get ready. If the sum of all the numbers in the list is divisible by 5, okay, so is this question clear to everybody? So you're going to be given a list of numbers. You add them up. Is the sum divisible by 5 or not? So if you divide it by 5, it's divisible or not, okay? Is this clear? All right, let's see. So that's your list. And again, try to be accurate, but also fast. As usual with clicker questions, I guess. A is yes and B is no. Okay. Getting ready to stop? Do you need more time? Anybody needs more time? Okay, getting ready to stop. So the point, okay, let's see what this is. Okay, no. The point of these problems is not that necessarily that you get the right answer. I mean, I want you all to get the right answer, but it's more to see how much time each task takes. So if you had, before you had, you know, it's 83 in the list, it was really easy. Everybody finished in 10 seconds. This is a little harder. So, that, you know, to get a sense of, you know, some things are harder to do than other things and are taking more time. And so, okay. What was the sum?
It ended in one.
It ended in one. Anybody got the sum?
851.
851. Okay. Good. Move on. Okay, so how would we do this in Scratch? We need a total to keep a count of the running total. Of you know, we go over each element in the list, and whenever we encounter one element, we change total by item I of list. Okay, so for each element, we add it to total, and I is again helping us to go over the list. And so total keeps the total. We say the total, and then if total mod 5, this is modulo, the mathematical operation, if that's 0, that means that total is divisible by 5. We say yes, otherwise we say no. So that's your Scratch program. Fix that. Okay, so finding the max. Another problem. The question is the max X? So you're going to be given a list. And you have to answer yes or A, click A, if the max is 98, and click B or no if the max is not 98. Okay, so the maximum number in the list. Is the max 98? So is the max equal to 98? So the biggest number in the list is equal to 98. Okay. Stopping? Anybody need more time? No?
Yeah, hold on.
Sure. Okay. Stopping? Stop. Oh, sorry. Okay, B. So the 98 is not, what is the biggest number? 97, okay, which is here. All right, so this was this easier or harder than the first one? Harder. No? Easier? Okay. Was it easier or harder than the second one? Easier than the second one. I agree with that. Okay. Okay, so this is getting a little more complicated because you need to keep, as you go through the list. So can anybody tell me how they did it in their head or how they did it? What's the, yeah.
I checked all the numbers to see if any of them were larger than 98 and then went back and made sure 98 was actually, in this case, not in the list.
Okay, right. Any other method? Yeah.
I just looked at the 10 spot, so what was it, 9?
Okay, that's good. Okay, and then you looked at what it was. Okay, because they were all two-digit numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were all two-digit numbers, and so you have to look at the first digit, see if there's a 9 in there, and see if that's a very fast way to look it up. Yeah.
I just had one third wrong. I kept trying the largest number.
And that's exactly how Scratch would do it. This is exactly what this does. So it keeps track of largest is the largest seen so far. And then we're going to go again, this, you know, loop that we've seen a lot. We use I to go through the list. If item I of list is bigger than the largest we've seen so far, we set largest to that item. And so, if we start by largest being 0, because there's no negative numbers, and so we can start with 0. And so, you know, whenever we see an element is, you know, I don't know what the first one was, 41 something, then that's going to be the largest seen so far. And whenever we hit something that's larger than that, that's going to be our largest number. And then we got largest, we say the number for 2 seconds, and if largest equals X, say yes, else say no. Okay, so that's our... Okay, so now you have to multiply them and say, is the product of the numbers divisible by 5? Okay? So if you multiply all of them, is that divisible by 5? Okay, ready? Let your brain explode or anything. Or your computer. So again, getting the right answer is not the important thing. The important thing is to see, actually going over it and seeing how hard it is to do it and how long it takes. So it's taking longer. It's okay, because it's a hard problem. Okay, I guess I'm going to try to stop at 1:25. If nobody has an objection. Okay, I'm going to stop. There's 61 clicks that I would like to see. Unless somebody left. No? Okay, no. That's all I'm gonna get. B. Okay, so the answer is no. So somebody who never said anything in this class, how did you figure it out? You said something. Somebody who hates saying something in class, please say something. No. Yeah.
The ones in each.
The unit.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's way less work than actually multiplying all the numbers, which I guess would be so. The instinct would be to multiply all the numbers, get a huge, ginormous number, and then see if it's divisible by 5. But the unit is, if you discard the tenths position, that's fine too, because you're going to get the last. Why did you do that? Because
just wanted a 0 or 5.
Exactly. So she looked at the last digit. If it's a 0 or 5, that means it's divisible by 5. Any other? Yeah.
I noticed that none of them ended in a 5 or 0.
Okay.
So
yeah. So this is the fastest way to do this is.
I was going to comment and say that this specific, you could have a 7 and a 3, and that's divisible by 5. You take off the tens digit, and you have all the other ones. If you add up the ones place, and they are, like you have 8 and 2, whatever number of this, you need 7 and 3,
right.
7 and, 7 and, 7 and 3, and then 2 and 3. You could have all odds, and it wouldn't, none of them, like 87 and, say, 23.
So you have multiplication.
That would be divisible by 5, yeah. And if you just add up the ones place, the ones position, they would, there's still a chance. Likelihood, if it's not, it doesn't end in a 5 or a 0, it wouldn't be, but there's still the likelihood.
So how does 8 and 2 work?
Well, if you have, 28 and... 82.
Okay.
Those two numbers combined, while they don't end in 5 or 0 specifically, are divisible by 5. And
the multiplication?
It says the product. Is the product divisible by 5?
Yes.
Well, all the tens position will definitely be divisible by 5. 70 is divisible by 5. It's an odd number. 50.
Is 80? Did you say 82 and 28?
Yeah. Well, when you add the two of them up.
They're not divisible. Well, you don't add them up. You multiply them. Right? So it's a product of the numbers.
But the maybe I just was...
Think about it.
Explain it.
Okay, think about it. So, well, just multiply, you know. Okay, so what Stacy said was that she looked at every single number and she saw if it, you know, she looked if it's divisible. She decided if it's divisible by 5 or not, so she looked for the divisible by 5 number in this list. And if there's none, we know that the product is not going to be divisible by 5. Because, that's how the math works, I guess. Okay, so that's the fastest way to do it, because you only have to look through the list once.
Let's see, what else do we have? This is, again, talking about the anatomy of the loop. In the case where we actually have something that changes, so we can keep a running. So this script keeps a running product of all the elements it's seen so far. And so the only difference between this one and the one I explained before is that you actually need to update a value here, which is a product for each element. You have to update it, and it would be the same for the sum. Only would have set sum to sum plus item, or change sum by item I of list. Okay, so this is to get you guys used to lists and loops and stuff like that. Okay, what about the median? So what's the median? The definition of a median. So if you have this, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry? The middle number in the sorted list. Okay, I'm going to give you a list that is not sorted. So you have to answer the question if the median is 45. Is the median 45 or is it not 45? Okay, so is a median exactly 45? All right? You can write it down this way. Please write it down. Otherwise, I don't really see any way of doing this. So again, try to do it yourself so that you would see, get a feel of how hard it is. So A is yes and B is no. Don't approximate. It's not going to work in this case. Okay, I'm going to stop at 2. Unless somebody needs more time. Okay.
Is the middle number, or is it the average?
It's the median. It's the number in the middle.
Well, if 90 is the highest number,
uh-huh,
and 0 is the low number, then I would assume 45 would be the middle number.
Well, no, that's it doesn't need to have, that's the average. And this is the mean. Okay, we'll leave that problem to the side right now. I still think it's not.
So was it median or mean?
Median.
Can you just count the numbers to the left and count the numbers to the right?
To the right, what is the right and the left? It's not in order.
The median is the 10th number.
Go ahead.
Well, there's 19 numbers, right?
There are 19 numbers.
And 45 is the median, and there would be 18 numbers left. And there's 9 numbers bigger than 45.
There's 9 numbers bigger than 45.
And
9 numbers that are smaller than 45.
So 45 has to be the median.
So 45 has to be the median.
So you sorted them, and it's wrong.
What's the
it
median?
Is.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, so, yeah, that's what she said. That's what you say, and that's correct. That is, if there's actually 9 numbers, I did the same thing, but I think I counted it wrong. So if there's 9 numbers that are smaller than the median and 9 numbers that are bigger than the median is, median is 45, and that is the right answer. Yeah.
So it is.
Okay, so I was wrong. A is the right answer. Okay, so this is your code. So you actually have to sort the list, which we'll see pretty soon. We're going to learn how to do that. And so after you've sorted the list, you set I to the middle of the list. So this is length of list plus 1 over 2. And then you have to say item I of list for 2 seconds. So the reason why I did plus 1, I'm assuming that the list has an odd number of numbers, because otherwise the median, I think, is the average of the two middle numbers if it's an even number. So the number of elements in the list is even. And so I wanted this to look nice, and so I, actually this is, you know, the median will be the, so in our case with 19 numbers in the list, length of list plus 1 will be 20. Over 2 will be 10. And so the median is the 10th element in the list. And so we say it, and then we say if the median is X, we say yes, otherwise we say no. And that's our scratch code to figure out the median. And so this is, you know, this is the slide that was showing, I guess you already figured it out. You have a list, and you have it sorted. That's the list sorted, and you have 11 is your median. So how many elements are smaller than 11 in this list? In this list? Three, right? So we have 2, 5, and 8. And so how many elements are bigger than 11? 3. And so it's equal. And that's how you know that that's the median. And so this is your sorted list, and that's how what it looks like. And so this is just a blah about how you can you can figure out how many elements are smaller than the median, how many elements are bigger than the median. If you're okay, so let's look at in this list, is the median 150?
No.
Okay. No. You say no. What? How many elements are smaller than 150? There's 4 elements that are smaller. What about bigger? There's 2. And so we know that the 150 is not the median. So the answer is no. And we have something like this. So we don't know, we might not know the sorted list, but 150 is here. And in the sorted list, we have 4 elements that are smaller and 2 elements that are bigger. So what does that say about the median? Is the median smaller than 150 or bigger than 150? Smaller, right? It's going to be this element here, which is smaller. And then you're going to have problems like, is the median, you know, smaller than 150 or bigger than 150? Okay, so the median is smaller than 150. And so let's try again the median, trying it with a fast method, and see how much better we can do. Oops. But not this fast. All right. So that is your list, and the question is the median 47? So A's yes, B's no. I don't want to see any C's, please. C's. I have no clue what's going on in this class. No, don't do that, because I'm going to get everybody's clicking. We have a list of numbers and we want the sum of them. How can we do that? So one way of doing it is we just add up, you know, we go over the list and we keep a running sum of all the numbers. How can we do it faster than that? Because, you know, adding numbers is not very pleasant if there's a lot of them. Any ideas? Yeah. So you only look at the digits, the units, and that's how you can do it faster. And this is, also there's another shortcut that you can use. Because we noticed that a number is divisible by 5, if it ends in 5 or 0, we can skip the numbers that end in 5 or 0 and only add the numbers that... only add the last digit of the numbers that don't end in 5 or 0. And so we keep on running some of them. So we don't have to, we can't skip them. And so I would like to try that too. So you have a list. I guess it's low. I guess some people can't see it.
Anyone?
So if the sum of these numbers is divisible by 5. Using the two shortcuts.
There's another AP question.
Sorry? Yeah, AB, please. Just AB. Thanks for staying. And everybody get extra credit to answer the last question.